Hi. Yeah, we're here. It's Monday morning. And I know Monday's everybody's favorite day, aren't they, Leanne? Leanne Moll's here too. Look. Look, there she is.
Monday.
Hello. So, did you have a nice weekend?
Yes, I did.
What did you do?
I ended up binge watching with my mom and brother, which was weird. You don't often do that. It's usually an alone activity.
But that's quite nice, yeah. So what did you do?
My mom has never seen Big Little Lies with Reese with a spoon and Nicole Kidman.
And Nicole with a fork.
Yes. So, yeah.
Sorry, it was cheesy.
Obviously, you know what the funniest is, though? My mom still gets uncomfortable when there are kissing scenes or sex scenes. But when you're sitting with your brother and your mom and you can hear...
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah.
It's not ideal. And she does, she still does what she did when we were little. As soon as a sex scene comes on, she goes, have you done your homework?
Oh, no, really? Is that what she said? She didn't excuse herself and go make some tea or anything. That was what she did.
Well, she can't now because she's in a wheelchair.
Oh, shame. That's terrible. Well, yeah, I had a very, very peaceful, uneventful Friday. And last night I watched, which I've never seen before, was Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Oh my goodness.
Because I think between this one and that abortion, like there was that Crystal Skull one, which was just terrible. And they've tried, and poor old Harrison Ford. I mean, he's so old now. And
oh, so is this one of the more recent ones?
Yeah, yeah. This is the most recent.
Oh, so he's still doing them?
Well, they kind of are. I mean, you know, there was that. There have been two or three that have been not so great, or one or two that have been not so great, and this one was not bad. It wasn't horrible. I think it came out last year or the year before.
So the special effects must be good then.
Yeah.
And you can see it's CGI.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it is still Harrison Ford. So, you know, he brings back a couple of the old characters and it was nice. It wasn't horrible. I was pleasantly surprised. Let's put it that way. And then, of course, I've started off and now I can't stop with this Paradise show. Which Janine here in the office has told me about. Now I'm on to episode 5, which is wild.
It's Disney, by the way.
Is it?
Yes, Janine told me.
Because
you didn't know.
Okay. Well, I didn't know who made it, but I just...
No, I mean it's on the Disney streaming platform.
Yeah. I don't care what... I really don't care.
I don't have Disney, so I can't watch it.
Yeah, but then illegally downloaded or something.
See what's happening
here. I don't bother with any of those subscriptions. Why? They're all shit. And you end up paying for them. By the way, I had to discuss this with you. I got a... I think it was an email or a WhatsApp or something the other day from... The SABC.
Oh, no, I knew it.
Yes, they want my TV license money.
Yeah, I'm at the point with them where they've said you're basically going to rot in jail.
Yeah.
The lawyers have been, you're actually arrested.
We're going to clap you in irons and throw you in the dungeon.
We're phoning you in your jail cell right now.
And I thought, you guys are never getting that money out of me, ever. It's never going to happen. I'm like, you can do somersaults, you can send... a team of lawyers with all their briefcases and all of their slick back hair. And I'm just not interested. Like,
would you go to jail for it?
You're never getting that money. No, but they can't take you to jail for it. It's not even a misdemeanor. It's like you're very bad that you didn't pay this. But as I recall, and as I think I replied, when we worked there for 10 years or more?
16 for me.
For you, a long time. Long sentence for you.
Yeah,
long walk to freedom. They made us pay R5 a day to park there. I remember that. So I did a quick calculation, right? So if I worked there for 10 years.
Because we were freelancers. When I was employed
R5 a day times
I got free
by
parking.
How many call it let's be conservative, 280 out of 365, which is right. That'll give us 1,400, okay.
Which is more than a TV license, I think.
Well.
I don't even know how much they are.
Okay, so multiply that by 10. So they made a fair amount of money out of me. I think I've paid for my license a couple of times over. Just, I really do think that I've been more than generous. I paid in advance.
Yeah.
You know? You're not getting that money out of me. I'm sorry. That's like the way that the government tax you when you buy something. But they've already taxed you on your salary. So now they're double taxing you. Then later on, once the thing has been yours for a while and you sell it, then they want to tax you again.
But you're also driving on a road that they're taxing you on your rates and taxes.
Yes, correct.
To get from the shops. Yeah.
And then there's a fuel tax on your petrol. And, you know, these guys are like, they're taking the piss. Eventually you're like, how much do I actually keep of the money I work for? 5-10%?
And then ridiculous. How many billions are just lost?
Billions and billions and billions. That's what Trump always says. Everything's billions.
Everything's
by the way,
Trump at the moment.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of, I need to take a breather from all of this stuff because it's too much, right? It's just too much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I seriously wanted, and even politics in this country, I've had that up to here already. I know lots of people are never very, there's never too much that you could talk about in the world of politics, but I'm just, I need a breather.
I was watching.
I mean, it's February and look at how much news we've had.
No, it's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
But the thing is, you know, media trust is just
plummeted.
I don't know who to believe anymore. I don't know. I watched a long Bernie Sanders clip.
Was he busy complaining about people who don't pay their taxes because they're rich?
For an
they're in the top 1% of 1%.
He was angry about the oligarchs.
Oh, yeah.
And saying how the people on the street just don't matter anymore and that we've got the biggest fight in the world ever to fight, to try and get anywhere.
This old man.
And I thought, looked at this octogenarian and I thought, is he losing his marbles? Does he have a point, though?
He might have a point.
I mean, Elon's sitting in the office.
But I struggle to take anyone seriously who's never actually had a real job or created a job and has always worked for government. Or in Bernie's case, he used to sleep on like the sofa of his friends for like years because he was like down and out and he was penniless and he just never bought. He slept late, took lots of drugs. This is when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was just useless. He was like a, like most communists, just lazy and shiftless and like a parasite. He was just basically living off this friend of his. So I don't have a lot of respect for people like that. And if you get to 80 years old, the only real income you've ever brought in is through politics, you should be ashamed of yourself. Plus, I mean, he hasn't done too badly for, you know, Bernie, man of the people, Sanders. He has a holiday home. He's made way more money than he should have. He's run for president, let's not forget, unsuccessfully.
His point about the oligarchs is that they deserve the money and the wealth and the power, and they are the new kings.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
I don't believe he says they deserve that.
He said it's rightfully theirs, that money.
Yeah, the money's theirs.
Yeah.
Because he just doesn't want people coming after him. For his.
No, exactly. And then there was also Elon's, I don't know, 28th son who was under Trump's desk. Did you see that?
Yeah, a little ex, I think he is.
But they were, I don't know if it was made up, but he was apparently mouthing things to Trump.
He was like, shh.
No, he was going, shut your fucking mouth and you don't belong here. You're not the president.
No, I think that's a little bit of fantasy.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think
you
that's
a little. You just never know these days.
No, I think that's an American media. Listen, those guys are. I just want to play this for you. You don't even need to see it. I'm just going to play you the sound of how the leftist media have obviously got their marching orders. All right. So this is what happens in American media is that they're all told what to say.
Yeah, well, they're controlled by people with a lot of money.
Exactly. So let me play this for you quickly. And you just, so there's, I mean, there's everybody in here. I'll give you their names eventually, but just listen to this. Would be nice if, there we go.
Okay,
just listen.
A constitutional crisis.
Close to a constitutional crisis.
Closing a constitutional crisis.
A constitutional crisis.
A constitutional crisis.
Constitutional crisis.
It means whole.
Constitutional crisis.
In a constitutional crisis.
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 We have a constitutional crisis.
As a constitutional crisis in this
country. Okay, so it's not even the end of the clip, but you get the point, right?
Yeah.
They've got their marching orders, and now you've got to call what's going on a constitutional crisis. This is how the left in America works. They get told what to do, and they go, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir.
I remembered something really controversial the other day, and I didn't realize at the time how controversial it was. I was in my early 20s writing news at the SABC, and when there was something serious going on, either there was an insider story or someone at the SABC was in trouble, either that or if there were farm murders, the editor would come out and walk the floor.
What did they do with farm murders?
We were not allowed to lead with them. They were not allowed to be our lead story.
And so, I mean, this was happening and people think
And not only that, sorry. It was allowed to be broadcast on RSG.
Yeah.
But not on the other channels or very low down.
How bizarre. See, so they were influencing the news.
Completely. And at the time.
And especially for that subject, right? It was either that subject or inside busts by.
Yes.
Unreal. And people think that the media aren't manipulated in this country. I mean, there's still people who genuinely don't believe that farm murders are a thing. You know, they just refuse to believe they're actually happening. And many people who have been taken far too seriously in the media environment too also believe that. It's weird. Let's go to the comments because I haven't paid any attention to those yet. And you know what trouble I'm in. What trouble I'm going to be in if I don't do that. Sorry about that, chaps. What do we got? We've got Rob Jackson. The truth always comes out, hey? Yeah, there we go. Leanne revealing all the skullduggery of years.
Yeah.
During COVID times, everything was unprecedented. Do you remember that word? Unprecedented.
Yes.
That was used all the time. Yeah, that's what these guys do. They find a narrative, a key phrase that works, that they think will land well with people. And then they just repeat and regurgitate it over and over again. In fact, I don't know why, but someone brought up like those few weeks at the beginning of COVID where everybody was truly afraid.
Mm.
You know, every sensible person thought, well, wow, what if this thing is as bad as we think it is,
mm-hmm.
or as they tell us it is? And I just remember everybody finding things to do that they hadn't done for ages, whether it was, you know, painting, picking up hobbies. Yes. Do you remember all of that? And I thought of it because I've got this laboratory at home, which I used to do all kinds of chemical experiments in. And I suddenly thought, I better like check all of this stuff is still okay.
Not expired and burning.
Because some of it is there's flammable stuff. There are things that react easily. So on Friday evening, I had like gloves on and I was cleaning out stuff and neutralizing acids and shit that
this,
I haven't
this
done
weekend
for ages.
Or no,
this
Friday,
COVID. This last Friday. Friday.
Oh yes.
Tidying it up, and I thought, wow, you know, there's so much stuff that you don't even realize you haven't done for a long time.
Mm.
Until you can actually measure it by how certain stuff is deteriorated because that's what it does chemically.
Like, yeah.
When last did I get in here and do things? So I was on a major cleanup mission.
Wow.
This whole weekend.
You just flushed all down the loo.
No, hell no. Some of that stuff is dangerous. No, I had to do all kinds of experiments on the things, and not just experiments, but procedures to neutralize stuff. I mean, eventually you end up with harmless salts, right, that you could even put in your swimming pool.
Oh.
But you need to know what you're doing.
Okay.
So don't swim in my pool for at least six months.
That was my second option. I was going to say, did you just throw it all into the pool? And how's your pool looking?
Hell. There'd be things that would explode.
Yeah.
You see, this is the fun thing about chemistry is there's always something that reacts with something. The only thing that doesn't react with anything at all, even in, you know, massive, complicated, technologically vast factories and places where they can force reactions at high temperatures and pressures. The only thing that won't react with anything at all is helium.
It just makes you sound funny.
Just makes you sound like it. But it doesn't react with anything at all.
No, it's a friendly chemical.
Boring.
Boring.
That's what we would call it.
Okay.
Just boring. Nothing happens. All right. Lots of things to talk about here and lots of things to get to. First things first, though, I think this is quite fun. And this is because you find out from family and friends that they're up to all kinds of new things, talking about not doing things for a while. So Tamara, who is actually, I mean, she's basically my cousin, but she's on the line here and we're going to talk to her. She started something called the, what is it? The hippie, the holistic hippie market.
goodness.
Okay, so she's doing this thing, and she's lots of fun. You'll see now. On the 1st of March, they're doing it in four ways, and she'll tell us more about that in a moment. But they're going to be stalls, 60 stalls, delicious food trucks, a live band, a pet-friendly atmosphere, even a maze, kids' play area. The market's more than a gathering. It's kind of an experience for people who are all woo-woo, gong-a-long-a-long, ding-ding. So there she is. How are you, Tamara?
Morning, Gabs.
Jesus, I haven't seen you in fucking years. Well, it feels like it, right? Are you behaving yourself?
Never. A penny, a heart.
So what's this holistic hippie market? Since when did you become a fucking hippie?
Always, actually, Gags. as you know, no one's normal in our family. We're all a bit eccentric.
Everyone's completely screwed up. Yeah, go on. Yeah. What is that in the background?
There's a lot of dream catchers there.
What's going on here? We got just go full screen on this. Let me just see what dream catchers and little
oils and I thought it was wine at first. I got very excited.
Have we got little aromatherapy bottles there? And what have we got going on there, Tamara? Take us through what's happening in the background.
It's my healing room. And I've got a little shop where I promote entrepreneurs who make beautiful natural products and things like that.
Lovely. Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, so let's just talk about
stock and so forth.
So you do what, crystals as well?
Bracelets, healing stones and crystals, things to cleanse your home, all sorts of goodies.
Good. Okay, so let's talk about the fact that you've now started this holistic hippie market. Now, what kind of people are going to be exhibiting there? What sort of stalls are going to be there? Are they going to be people? Are they going to be people who chant? Are they going to be people who do all kinds of funny things with their hands?
Including me, Gags. I'm going to be taking my shoes off and walking around barefoot.
Oh, fantastic. What is it called? Grounding, earthing yourself, right?
Correct.
Right.
I'll be grounding myself the whole day to keep calm and relaxed.
All right. Now, the best thing about this holistic hippie market is it's actually happening at your old house, which is a place where we all grew up, and your dad used to chase us around on the battlements of this castle. No, I remember. Do you remember at night? He knew where all the spotlights were, so he could make these terrifying shadows. And we would all be, you know, like, you know, I was probably 10 or 11 or 12 at the stage where we, you know, we used to be chased around there. And it was terrifying. It was late at night, and he'd go, "Ooh," and he'd come out of the one end, and then he'd suddenly be somewhere. Yeah, exactly. And he'd chase us down the passages and along the battlements, and it was fantastic. But Jesus, it was terrifying.
And he's not a small man.
No, big, big.
He's not a small man either.
So this is where it's happening, at the Chartwell Castle. So you've got lots of space there. There are lots of places where people can set up their stalls. There's obviously the maze, which your dad built, which is what? This is the biggest maze in the Southern Hemisphere.
Correct. My dad and my brother designed it together. And my dad would sit in the middle of the maze with all his work, talking to everyone, saying, "Right, no, move that here, this tree here, over there," you know, typical Connie, being bossy but still working at the same time and doing 30 things at once.
All right, so what people are coming to this? Who do you want to attract to the holistic hippie market? Because all of us can come, everyone's welcome. But what kind of stalls do you think there'll be? You've been speaking to all the people who are coming.
Yes, so we've got a huge variety of different stands. Obviously, a lot of entrepreneurs and people that make their own products, which are really beautiful. So, for example, things like handmade earrings out of clay and beautiful body products that are all natural and that sort of thing. We've got a really cool, I found a cool Rastafarian singer who's coming.
Oh, wow.
So that should be fun. I'm trying to create sort of like a fun festival day. So I'm going to put some beautiful carpets down and pillows and picnic blankets and that sort of thing.
Lovely. Will there be hippies sitting in circles with drums?
Absolutely, singing Kumbaya.
Yeah, I'd probably be very, very high at the same time. All right. So
absolutely. And I condone that.
All right. So tell me seriously for a second, because it's very hard for me to talk about these things seriously, but this has been your world for a long time. You're a Reiki practitioner and all of that stuff. Why do you think the world needs all of this at this stage? Because we were just talking a minute ago, Leanne and I, about how We just need a break from all the madness of the world. So are you feeling the same way? Is that why you think we need more hippies and more people attuning themselves and listening to the planet and, you know, getting into spiritual touch with each other and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we've all sort of become robots that are all marching down a street doing the same sort of thing. Mm. And I find it rather unhealthy. You know, none of us make time to really take time out for ourselves. For example, you know, at night we're sleeping, but a lot of us, when we're stressed, our minds are constantly active and going.
Yes.
So, for example, I also host meditation classes. And in that meditation class, it's a deep, deep, deep relaxation. And obviously, because all of us are so hectic in our heads, I guide you and talk to you throughout the session. So I keep bringing you back into your own, focusing on your breathing and just being aware of yourself and your body, mind, and soul. With the Reiki healing, we are basically unblocking any, unblocking your chakras, aligning you, grounding you, making you aware of what's going on in your body. It's actually a really incredible session. It's 2 hours.
Good Lord.
It's my absolute passion. I get to see with, you know, I get to meet amazing, fabulous people who've experienced insane things in their life. And everyone always says to me, God, aren't you exhausted after giving somebody Reiki? And I'm like, no, I'm on a high. It's fantastic.
So I can think of I can think of many people just inside of our family who could probably do with some chakra constipation therapy. You said it's all black, blocked up and backed up, right? So there are probably a few people that need to die. I mean, my dad should come for that. Your dad absolutely should come for that. They both have lots
He's actually been.
Oh, yeah? And what did he think? What did he say? Girlie, he very good. It. What did he say?
He loved it. He said to me, oh, girl, you're very spiritual. You're just like your father.
All right. So what else is there at the market there? There's something about a pet-friendly atmosphere so you can bring your pets along, because for some people, those are their spiritual... What do they call them? A familiar?
So my little Jessie's she's one of those dogs that you would take into a hospital to visit unwell people. She knows when somebody's not well, and she's just the most gentle, incredible little soul. Milo, on the other hand, is batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Our Staffy. But I absolutely love him. He's my shadow. But it's just, you know, people, I've got a dear, dear friend who's got her roly-poly, who is her baby, and her baby goes everywhere with her.
What is it?
And it's a little Jack Russell.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. So people can go with their dogs or their cats or whatever, but you know, there's space for them as well.
No one takes their cat anywhere. Absolutely. Garrison.
There are people who take their cats. Well, what about witches? You don't think a witch would go to – a witch would love to be at a holistic hippie festival, right, Tamara?
Absolutely. I saw somebody walking their cats in our estate the other day.
Yes, there are a few.
Like dogs.
There are a few, but you can't. Most cats will not take to a lead or sit in a box all day. The normal cats.
So funny enough, they weren't even on a lead. They were just happily walking behind
them. Wow,
I
couldn't believe that's incredible.
I could not believe my eyes.
Witches. I'm telling you, they must be witches. All right, so what sort of things do you think people will benefit from? Let's just go back to why we need this kind of this cleansing. People need to get all the nonsense out of their heads, all the stress, all the anxiety. Mm. You know, it's a tough world to live in, and there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. And maybe this is the perfect introduction. I mean, look, I'm so skeptical of these things, or have been for a long time. I'm starting to see value in them. And if a cynical shit like me can start to see the value in these, I'm sure there are plenty of people who do.
Wait until you come and see me for a session, guys.
Are you going to unblock my chakras?
I'm going to.
Very rude.
So you're an earth child like me.
Yeah.
So, you know, we obviously...
I'm just going to say, yeah, I don't know what that means. You're going to have to explain it.
You're a Virgo like me. So your earth element is earth. So you're not fire or water or anything like that, or air.
Right.
And we just... associate well with the earth and grounding specifically. You know, just making people more aware of what is available out there to be healthier and less stressed and all the rest of it. all the vendors that are there, we've got sidekicks and people selling mushrooms and all sorts of things that will assist them and help them.
I like the way each exhibitor has a sidekick.
Of course, we have to. We've got a henna artist. We've got the whole toot.
Right. Now, henna is that's the tattoos that they don't stay on forever, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So it's just making people more aware of these things. And I feel the world should be a better space. And, you know, people don't realize that when you see a psychologist or a psychiatrist or whatever it may be, not that I have any issues whatsoever with that. Mm. There's a ladder of healing. There's different forms of healing and people need to be aware of that. So with Reiki, you're focusing on unblocking your chakras. It's energy healing. Then you get things like the meditation, which is your deep relaxation and taking time out for you. Mm-hmm. You get things like TRE, which is something that I'm desperate to go into.
Yeah. One of my what is that?
Sorry?
What is TRE?
So TRE is basically a trauma release exercise.
Oh.
So one of my dear, dear, dear friends, who actually was my client first,
mm-hmm.
Introduced me to TRE. And it is the most incredible, incredible thing. So in this regard, you are basically, your body starts tremoring and you're basically forcing those traumas out of your body on a physical level, is incredible.
And do these people,
all these incredible things,
do they shake?
You do, but not like you're possessed, Gags.
Yeah, I'd be scared I'd shit myself on the mat or something.
Yeah, Leanne would be worried about shitting herself. And by the way, there's some very, very rude questions here. So let's go to a few of those because I always like to see this. Someone here asked, I think it's Congo Carl says, don't drag the poor animals into that lunacy. Shame, man. Congo Chris says, will there be any perineum tanning classes, the perineum, that area between your balls and your asshole? Will people be lying and tanning?
Wow.
Will people be lying and tanning their asshole under the castle battlements? The no?
Well, you never know.
You never
Maybe
know.
In the maze.
All right. Vyasin says, I love the hippie movement, but in these days, organic and spiritual health has become a business. Absolutely, it's a business. You mentioned the word entrepreneur once or twice. There are people who have found that this is not only their calling, but that there are people who want to pay for their services and their products and all of those things. So why the hell not?
Exactly.
Then Soul Alchemy Indeed, and then Run Into the Maze. That's good. That's from Ananda. Then Tracy says, we once had a rescue cat, spent his first year with dogs as a dog, was neglected, etc. Oh. So when we took him in, he still thought he was a dog. Played fetch with crumpled papers and went for walks and all that kind of thing. Raven thinks it's very funny that you call me an earth child like you. and then someone here is very upset because they saw the title of the show this morning and said, oh, no, so we don't get to see Gareth get a chakra enema. No, you won't see it. Okay, Judas says, let me address the elephant in the room. This is just modern-day witchcraft. There, I said it. Crystals and chakras run away from evil. Only God can,
God
can
Almighty.
Help you spiritually and mentally. All right, so you're not competing with God, are you, Tamara?
Absolutely not. I believe in all religions, and they all have beautiful beliefs. And I actually, everything that I sell and believe in, I mean, for example, I've got Buddhas, and then I've got food dogs in my healing room. So
whatever people want to associate with, that's absolutely fine, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Will you?
And if it doesn't work for them, then they won't come and see me.
Who's the most hippie person that you know?
Sholololo.
You must have met
that's
some.
That's a tricky one.
I mean, you must have met ones who still wear tie dye. And have you got someone? You don't have to give a name, but describe them to us.
Sure. He basically wears a loincloth.
Like Jesus.
Like Jesus. He's got long dreadlocks. He's quite old. His wife paints his fingernails. He's covered in jewelry. He's completely mad and wild. I once saw him get onto his motorbike in a loincloth.
In just the loincloth?
The loincloth and a think possibly a very small top. He did put his leather jacket over that and his helmet. But Oliver was obviously very excited. My son was very excited, and Michael were very my little boys were very excited to see this motorbike. And as he got on the bike, he flashed us, and I thought, oh, this is too much. But I think he's divine.
Well, he's probably going to be there, right?
Absolutely. I actually bumped into him at Woolies the other day. Everyone was staring at
him. What is he doing in Woolies? You'd expect him
actually,
to be
I'm
like
not sure.
No, I would have thought someone like that would be digging roots and tubers up in a forest rather than worrying to buy things at the shop. But I suppose we all have to eat.
And hopefully he was wearing more than the loincloth.
He used to be very high up in the corporate world.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then he just had enough.
Absolutely.
All right, so listen, this is all happening on Saturday, the 1st of March. So that's what, not correct, this weekend, but the next weekend.
Correct, at Chartwell Castle.
Very, very good. And you can go and see the dark alleys that Tamara and I were chased by monsters in. Mm. And you can go and see the maze. And I wonder if anyone will get lost in the maze, because we've had a lot of your wedding. I remember at your wedding, there were people who got lost in the maze. Or else they pretended to get lost in the maze. But
I think they did a lot more than get lost in the maze.
That's also true. And then just one last thing. There's somebody here who said that you've turned them into a newt. Is that true? Have you turned someone
into a what?
A newt. No?
A newt?
Yeah, like a baby frog, or what is a newt again?
Leanne,
what's
yes,
a newt?
It's a frog-like thing.
No, I think you must be confusing Tamara with someone else. She's not a witch.
Absolutely not.
All right. A newt is a frog. Yeah. A newt's a frog. So there we are. We just had to double check that. All right. Listen, I'm very excited about this. I'm going to try to come too. It looks like a lot of fun. The 1st of March, two weekends from now on the Saturday. Lots of fun. You can meet all these strange people with loincloths and body tattoos and
sprouts coming out of their ears.
Oh, and all kinds of things. People who worship and make little fires of hair and all kinds of things. Sangomas. They're all welcome, right?
Everything. Absolutely. 100%. Even if you're not a hippie, you're more than welcome to
there
come.
We go. And the hippies are very welcoming people. So let's go. The really? Holistic.
And kind.
And kind. And you know what? Kind is good.
Kind is so good, especially nowadays.
Okay, I love it. So there's Tamara, and there's the whole thing. Do we need to share any other details here? 1st of March, Chartwell Castle, Four Ways. In case people don't know, it's out in Chartwell, but it's easy to find. There are signs all the way, and it's going to be a fun day. What time does it start and what time does it end? Because you've got very eager hippies and you've got lazy hippies. So what time does it begin and what time does it end?
It starts at 10 and then ends at 4. That's just the market side of you. So the stalls will close up at 4. But I do believe that people will stay because there's a restaurant and bar at the venue.
Excellent.
So there may be a couple of people who might want to really let their hair down and continue partying through the night.
Sounds good. I like that very much. That sounds excellent. All right. So Tamara Hoyer, thank you very much. Nice to see you.
You too. Thank you so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
And we'll see you at the castle on the 1st.
Ryan, looking forward to seeing you.
Lovely, lovely. All right, there we are. So there's something fun for you to do. See, there it is there. Holistic hippie market. Perfect for you, Leanne.
Yes, I'll be there at 11 p.m.
P.m.
when the party starts.
Oh, by the way, I saw something that I thought was worthy of discussion by you and me before we get to Dr. Hanan. This is pretty disturbing. So I think it was on Instagram, somebody sent me this and I wanted your comments on it. So money spent on alcohol by generation. Okay. This is in America. Annually, $25 billion spent by boomers on alcohol in the last year. Gen X, $23.1 billion, also quite high. Millennials, comparable, $23.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of the same. And then the last one is all the way down, Gen Z, only spent $3.1 billion. Now, it could just be because
they don't have money.
They don't have money. In other words, they might want to get totally fucking pissed all the time. But it might be that they just don't have any money. Alternatively, it could be that they're actually not interested in drinking.
There is a bit of an attitude change, but also using substances other than alcohol.
Now, as the most famous drinking person in my world, what do you think this because this could be very bad news for liquor brands.
All it means is that the older you get, the more you drink because life becomes more shit. When it's all rosy and you're looking after your body and you're young and your nipples face the moon, everything's great. You're falling in love for the first time. And then after your second divorce, it's just enough.
You just drink. You just hit the bottle hard. Huh? Is that what happens?
It's exactly what happens. I know that in not in my lifetime, but we will be looking at drinking as we do smoking, where it's really like not a good thing.
Yeah, but
advertising will stop.
Come on. All people have done, and we've discussed this ad infinitum too, all people have done with cigarettes is they've replaced them with vapes.
Mm.
People are vaping. I mean, kids are vaping at a much younger age than...
than people were smoking.
Well, yeah. I mean, that a lot of people were smoking, but there were always kids. There were always 10-year-olds with cigarettes.
Yeah.
Right. If you look at old footage from like the 1920s and you see kids like having cigarettes, kids like 10-year-olds having a fat, you know, draw of a cigarette. You think, okay, well, yes, it's a problem that they're all vaping now, but they were always doing something. And there were always kids who were raised without parents, feral, who did whatever they wanted anyway. So let's not get too hit up on this. But it is kind of a bit of a worry that Gen Z are not major drinkers. Mm. I always thought that drinking was dreadful and boring until, you know, varsity.
Yeah, no, look, I only really started drinking, like ordering a drink.
Yeah.
Or something like that when I was in my 20s.
And then when you became a professional drinker,
well,
what was that? But mid-20s.
That happened post-divorce, I think.
No, it wasn't just a coping. It wasn't just a coping mechanism for you. You enjoyed it for a long time.
No, well, I enjoy certain types of alcohol. I had a beer on the weekend. I haven't had one, I don't know, it must be 5 years, 6 years.
And was it very, very nice?
So refreshing. Mm. Oh, it was very, very good. Then just one.
Yeah, okay. Well, you've obviously changed. You've let the whole team down. People were hoping you would be there to lead us into a revolution. You know, Gen Z, 3.1 billion as compared with 25 billion for boomers, 23.1 for Gen X and 23.4 for millennials. Well done, millennials, by the way. I didn't realize you guys were such puzzer faces.
But yeah. There we go. Yeah, getting older, they are.
Yeah, the millennials. So they're coming to terms with life and realizing, it's better to just be drunk, stumble through life drunk. I told you that all of our ancestors, basically, were all alcoholics because you couldn't drink the water in many places. It was unsafe to. I mean, the guys on ships, for example, part of the rationing was rum.
Mm.
You would get, I think it was several liters of rum a day.
A day?
Mm.
Jeez.
Because you couldn't drink water. There wasn't any water to drink. You couldn't drink from the sea.
Oh, so you would just get more and more thirsty.
Pissed the whole time, And yes, you'd get thirsty, but then you'd
drink more rum.
Wash it down with some rum.
Word.
Can you imagine having like liters of rum a day and then still having to tie knots and hoist sails? And
yeah,
it's quite something.
Some of the, if I think back to some of the movies I've watched based on books from people who made wine on their farms in Italy.
Yeah.
In the early 1900s.
Yeah.
And how they would only drink wine
while
they were tilling the soil and sweating in the sun.
Yeah.
They would drink wine for hydration.
Hangovers and being drunk are in the deeply rooted in the genes. So there we go. All right. You have a story to tell us, which I'm excited to hear about. A woman in New Zealand who bought a robot vacuum off of Temu.
The fuck's going on in there? Are you two like breaking shit down?
Are you building Lego?
What are you doing? No, I can't see. You
can't see and you need to clean
James
your glasses.
Needs to clean his glasses. What happened to you? All I hear is like stuff falling down and scratching and breaking. You need the hippie market, my friend. You need some Reiki or something. All right, so a robot vacuum off of Temu, by the way.
Yeah.
You can get anything on there.
Yeah, you're one of the few people who've said everything was fine that you bought.
Absolutely.
From
and I've ordered tons, like everybody's presents now come off of there.
Yeah. You see, I still trust the take a lot route But Temu, I haven't.
You and my sister.
I see too many strange things like this that you're about to see.
Okay, so here we go. Just show everybody. Oh, oh my God. Oh, wow.
But watch how it slams itself into the wall after slamming itself into the wall. And back.
All right, so that one is possessed by demons.
Well, you would think. But I just, you know, the comment section for these is just the best, aren't they?
Somebody told me they've got one of those vacuums and they're fantastic.
Oh, I got one ages ago when they'd first come out. In fact, it was a prototype.
But they're not meant to smash into the walls
like
that,
this
right?
one didn't. This was a prototype, so it had no guarantee. It was literally from the factory that they tested it from.
And yours
from
didn't, overseas. It didn't go running straight into walls.
It was amazing. In fact, okay. I had it until recently. The comments on this Timmy one says, let him be, he has guests arriving at the last minute. Oh my God, call a priest. A lot of people were reckoning it was like when your mom's saying, when your mom's cross and going, do I have to do everything here by myself? Yeah. All I ever do is pick up after everybody. Someone else says, you can hardly hear it running. Perfect for nighttime cleans. And that
imagine
the person,
how terrifying that is when you hear that thing, because it made a hell of a noise, right?
Violent.
Slamming into the walls and the skirtings. Now imagine you wake up at 3 a.m. and you hear this gong, 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 gong. It's like the noises you were making in there just now, James.
Exactly.
The hell?
Job description. Are you able to work in a fast-paced environment? Me.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone said they've got the team of employees driving that thing remotely.
All right, let me just say this again. Everything I've bought from them, I'm not buying expensive electronics, but everything I've bought from them is as advertised.
None of it
is shit. It all arrives. It is of the same quality I had in my head or better.
Same size.
I'm not trying to advertise or market for them. I just think South Africans are looking for the best place to buy good things, value for money. Honestly, I don't think you can do better. And I don't mind our local like take a lots and so on. I use them too. But I've not so far been disappointed.
Very good.
By any of the stuff. And who knows? I mean, I might just... The next time I order from them, I might be horribly disappointed. I'll let you know. But so far, so good. You really haven't tried them at all?
No. I see
they're advertising everywhere.
Yeah, no, I see them come up as an option. But then so does everything else come up as an option. And I'll select take a lot only because I trust
them. I think that what was wrong with that vacuum, by the way, first of all, it moves much too fast.
Yes.
Because you're not going to pick up anything.
And it's supposed to have sensors so it doesn't ram into things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Obviously, it's deranged. It's like humans. You get a faulty one every now and then, right? Mm. You know, some people come out of the box and they're a bit fucked.
Exactly.
I'm not wrong. You know, you occasionally will meet someone, and we'll talk about this with Dr. Hanan in a minute, but you get these people who are just, they're broken. It doesn't work.
It's a wiring problem.
Right, and that's what's happening with this. But I think the other problem is that it's in New Zealand, and everybody knows in New Zealand everything is upside down. Because it's down under, right? But it's further than down under. It's the furthest place on earth. It is.
Yeah.
It takes you hours and hours to get there. And planes land upside down, don't they?
maybe the vacuum was the wrong way around.
You're right. James, I'm not wrong about this. Like everything in New Zealand's upside down. They just turn it like this.
And the toilet swirl in the opposite direction or something.
Lighthouses there are a mess. Why? They're upside down, yeah. So that's probably why this poor thing is like, I'm made in China, but now I'm in an upside down place. Very scary. Okay, very, very like stereotypical Chinese accent, but I had to pull it out of somewhere. Okay. All right, let's get to Dr. Hanan. Let's see what he has for us. All right. He's not there yet. What are we talking to him about this morning? Main character syndrome. Oh, I love this. Okay. Don't you feel...
Is that like an ego thing?
Yeah. So, you know, these people who basically create this world in their heads where they are the starring of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're the one who is the most important person. Everybody else is just playing a cameo in their life.
Where does one draw the line? Because we're encouraged to put yourself first. You know,
yeah,
spend time on yourself. We were just speaking to Tamara about that. Take time out for yourself. Think about yourself. You're the most important. If you don't love yourself.
Most people are like that, sure.
Yeah.
And most people are already doing that. They don't need any encouragement.
Okay. So those.
But it's also the fact that they relegate everyone else to being bit players in their show. And sometimes people just need to be reminded it's not all about you. And I think this must be hell for people like Dr. Hanan who have, you know, they have to deal with these people who've got main character syndrome all day. They have to help these people figure out and navigate a way through life where they are convinced they're a star in their own movie. I mean, I'm obviously simplifying this. Is it a real thing? Because we know the word syndrome is just attached to pretty much anything these days. And then it gets put in the, what is your guidebook that you guys use, doctor? That manual of psychological illnesses or whatever. What do you call that? We can't hear you. Go say that again, doc. I think you're on mute, huh? Remember that? No. Really? Hey, have you guys got your heads up your asses in there? I don't think it's Dr. Hanan's fault. He does this with us every Monday. It's got to be you. I'm telling you. Did you, by the way, just in case people are wondering, I bought James off of Temu.
So you lied that Flex, everything was fine.
What's happening there? It is Dr. Hanan. All right, we'll try and figure that out in the meantime. So social media has created a world where everyone wants to be the star of their own show. And this is affecting how people form genuine relationships, deal with failure, and handle reality in the end.
Mm.
That is called main character syndrome. So we'll find out if it's an actual thing with Dr. Hanan in just a moment. Have you got him back? All right. I think you and I both think we have we believe we're main character. You know, you ever someone says main character energy?
Yeah.
It's like when someone walks into a room and suddenly everybody looks at them.
Yeah. I hate that though.
You don't want that attention. No, but I do think you're in like a did you see there's a new Bridget Jones movie?
Yes.
Are you gonna watch it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we definitely.
I kind of see you playing a role like that.
My mom's always said she kind of, I remind her of the character of Bridget Jones.
Well, I
just
mean,
a bit of a mess.
You see, there we go. Main character syndrome. All right. Have we got him now?
Oh, there you go. You're right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you'll tell me when he's ready, huh? Okay. Thanks, James. James is at the moment busy smashing into walls and spinning around and smashing into other walls. Oh, my God.
Hide behind an office chair quickly.
No, seriously. It's unbelievable. Okay, so let's look at this quickly. Comments. The only syndrome that isn't popular these days is Down syndrome, says Sianda. I don't know. I see lots of good stuff on the internet.
There's some documentaries going on around that at the moment.
Big dick energy or big vagina energy is something else.
Wow.
Big vagina, energy.
That's something new.
I've heard of big dick energy, but big vagina energy?
No.
I mean, what is that? Like, how would you characterize that?
It's just something I don't really want to think about.
How would someone with big vagina energy come into a room?
Oh, they'd blast it open with their legs and kick it open and go, I've arrived. I'm here.
Oh, that's funny. If you add the IQs of James and Flex, you're still in single digits, says Carl DeSantis. the only syndrome that I want to hear about is hippie syndrome, says someone else. Gareth has literally named a show about himself. Yeah, exactly. This is the Gareth Cliff Show.
So you're the main character.
But we only do this, to be fair, we only do this three times a week for 2 hours. And then I'm no longer the main character.
Okay,
so I've distilled all my main character energy into this 2 hours.
And then so you're not that, the center of your life.
Oh, hell no. Not after the show.
You give of your life kindly to others.
Oh, no. Then I quietly kind of disappear into the background and do normal things.
Okay.
Very normal things. Okay. So let's see. Is Dr. Hanan there? Oh, for God's sake. What are you guys doing? You know, Flex and James, you're very disappointing people. Beaver says it's easy. Just be yourself. But I mean, that's coming from someone called Beaver.
Exactly. Who's obviously not themselves. Do you know anyone called Beaver? Is it an actual name?
No, man. It's a nickname, but it's a fun nickname. Does Temp have a Temu? I think this is have a DSM like 4K at the medical bookstore. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Slippery pickle.
Started on the mushrooms.
It's a hell of an early start on the beginning of the week and on a Monday and early in the morning.
I told you once I saw a guy while I was driving in here who was skittling across as a pedestrian across the road in the dark on a Monday.
Mm, it's great. It's always the best time to be hammered. There is a difference between being yourself and setting up a camera in public to record narratives when you're the focal character. Okay. So I suppose if you actually find yourself narrating your life, then it's turning into a problem.
No, that would be most people on social media.
I bet you can hear it when a big vagina walks into a room, says
Tabo.
Yeah,
there'd be a lot of flapping. Thinking like when a walrus claps.
When someone with big vagina energy sits at a bar, the bar stool disappears.
Oh no.
I knew we'd go this way. Has to be literal. Main character energy is inner confidence. Main character syndrome is insecurity, says B. Ooh, it's an interesting breakdown.
It's like that song, because I'm too messy and then I'm too clean. Do I stop thinking about myself or do I put myself first? So many instructions.
I think there's a happy medium, you know. Again, the cast from Matilda did a retake of the cake scene. Brucey has grown. Miss Trunchbull looks mild and kind. Danny DeVito seems shorter. So good. It was all over X over the weekend. Did you see that?
No.
I didn't either. But yeah, people are talking about this new Bridget Jones movie. It's got Renee Zellweger,
yes.
And it's got Hugh Grant and like a couple of the old
ones. I've never watched a full
return.
Trailer.
I've never seen Bridget Jones's Diary.
I don't like watching trailers.
I've never seen the movie.
Oh, haven't you?
No, I'm not interested.
No. I read the book before I saw the movie, and that's what got me to watch them.
Someone thinks it's very funny that you talk about flapping.
Testing.
Oh, hello. Wow. Hello, Doc. Good Lord.
Oh, my God. How are you guys?
I'm glad that you're on. I mean, I'm sorry about these incompetent producers of mine. What can we do? They all have main character energy and main character syndrome. So tell me, is this a thing? Do you encounter people in your practice who are suffering from main character syndrome? And let's not get confused, because just the other day, Simpiwe was saying on Friday's show, she's like, people are going to stop using the word narcissist to describe every ex-boyfriend they've ever had. We know people are hopping onto everything. They just love to say, I'm suffering from depression, when they don't know anything about it and they're just trying to make themselves sound interesting. They're sad, having a bad day, but they've got clinical depression. There's a difference here between main character syndrome, which isn't a real thing, I assume, and people who are self-absorbed to the point where you need to be treating them. Or is there?
Well, I've never heard of main character syndrome. What is it? Is it me syndrome? Is it?
Yeah, it's
someone that wants the attention to be on them.
It's a me thing, but you know, it's used in common parlance to be.
Yeah, it's like being coined by Gen Z to say, you know, oh, that person's got main character energy. Oh, they want to be the staring. They want to be the star of their own show.
Okay, so we'll start with this, and maybe you can make head or tail of this. So B says main character energy is cool. That's like inner confidence. That's like you're actually in a movie where you're the main star, and everybody else is just in a cameo. And then main character syndrome is like an insecurity. So I don't know if the two are different, but do you want to comment on this?
Yeah, look, I think we all like to be acknowledged for the effort that we put into the things that we value. So we all want to be kind of the main characters of areas of our lives where we put value into. So I want to feel important in my marriage, and I want to feel important as a father, and I want to feel important as a psychologist, and I want to feel important as a friend to my best friends. So when it comes to areas of my life where I feel I create value and want to receive value, I want to be the main character. But these days we diagnose and we put boundaries and we put definitions of pretty much everything, which is a mistake. Because whilst we feel that we contain it through a definition, we actually disempower ourselves because we contain it as a definition. we lose our freedom to kind of explore and expand and get creative. So I don't believe in this over-defining and over-diagnosing of anything, especially when the criteria is too broad. So I've never heard of main character syndrome, and in certain areas, I would assume it's very helpful where you want to be the, you know, you need to, never mind want to be. It's quite important when you need to be sitting at the head of the table, because sometimes you got to take responsibility and sometimes you got to take initiative. And at other times, it's not okay where you got to let somebody else do the same thing. So it depends on the circumstances.
This is what Leanne and I were getting into just a moment ago. It's like there's a happy medium, right? You don't want to be the person who abdicates responsibility for everything and is always shy and retiring in terms of taking control of their own life. God knows that's a bigger problem than main character energy. We have too many people in the world who just won't take responsibility for anything. Life just happens to them. But then you do get the other extreme, which is people who think everyone else is just a pawn in their chess game, right? Like everybody else can be just moved around. And I think that it strays into dangerous territory, but only at the very extreme. So you want to be somewhere in the middle. You want to be one of those people who you see yourself as the main character in your movie. You're telling your own story. And everybody else is also important. They're not just bit players.
Yeah, you can't. I think that empathy comes into play here as well. It's about it not being about just you. You need to take into consideration how other people fit into your life, and it's not a fit in or fuck off, you know, idea. You need to make certain concessions, adaptations. And you need to try and have empathy for their situation.
You know, my favorite thing to hear when my patients come in, and I know it might sound really strange, is when they go, "It is my fault." And I love that, because for the first time in their therapeutic journey or maybe in their lives, they take responsibility. They're at the head of the table. They go, "The buck stops with me." Now, that sounds really sad, because now you think they're blaming themselves. But remember, at the same time, now they're empowering themselves in doing something about it. When you go, "It's somebody else's fault, somebody else is the main character of my life," then it feels much better, because now I'm giving responsibility to them, but also you're giving them power. And can you really control anybody else? Never in a quadrillion years. It's just not possible. You can hardly control yourself, never mind control somebody else. So when you actually take responsibility in that way, and you're the main character of your life in that way, I find that very, very positive and very helpful and very empowering. The buck should always stop with you.
Well, Carl De Santos says, "I've never heard Hanan be so apathetic. He gives no fucks about this topic today."
That's great.
All right, so if you don't care about that, let's just leave it alone. We've got to have a conversation one morning about how people have turned from psychology and psychiatry to hallucinogenics and neurotropics and all of this stuff, and they're self-diagnosing and then they're self-prescribing stuff that probably will make them worse. And not always, but there are people who can handle this. But we need to talk about this, because I'm sure in your practice too, you've met lots of people who still believe that they know better and they want to sort themselves out. And they get, like, you know, a handful of pills or mushrooms or whatever it is from somebody, and then they think, "I'll sort this out myself." Does that worry you a little bit? It should. It should worry all of us.
Very much so. Very much so. I've said this many times, just because I had a toothache doesn't make me a dentist. And just because I've had car problems doesn't make me a mechanic. And just because you felt sad or down or insecure or frustrated in your life or anxious, which is, by the way, the human condition, it happens to everybody,
right,
doesn't make you an expert in that field. And just for you to listen to somebody that's not qualified, and I'm talking also in terms of you listening to yourself, and you're not qualified to diagnosing, never mind treating you. It's like you doing root canal on yourself. You can only expect more problems. So I have an issue with people diagnosing themselves and certainly treating themselves with things that they unfortunately don't understand. Just because you felt it doesn't make you an expert in the field.
Right. And I think we'll get into that one day soon. Mm. So somebody says here, Bitcoin Boot says, when is Dr. Hanan in the studio? I know we're trying to arrange that so you can come and spend a bit longer with us. We can get people to get their questions ready and you can come in and solve them one by one.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, awesome. In the meantime, have a lovely day. I'm sorry that we wasted 5 minutes of your time just trying to get the sound right this morning, but it happened. And that you didn't give a shit about the topic that we wanted to talk about. Now, like Dr. Hanan, as soon as he finishes this call, he's going to be, what a fucking waste of time. Watch. Well, happy Monday.
Next time, let's talk about what I want to talk about.
All right, let's go. Main character syndrome. You go for it. You know what, Dr. Hanan, you decide what we'll do next week. How about that? You come in here with an agenda. You're like, today we're talking about this shit. I don't care if you want to or not. All right.
I love it, guys. Have a good week.
Thanks, Doc. Cheers.
Okay, bye.
Dr. Hanan. First thing on a Monday. So this is a good start to the week. Holistic hippie festivals. Dr. Hanan. All the pet stuff as well that came up this morning. People with their familiars. Temu robots that crash into walls.
Yes.
Producers that crash into walls.
Yes.
We're having a very good start to the day. I love it. All right, everybody. Just Tabo says, listen to that sarcastic laugh. He thinks the show is a joke. Hey, sometimes so do I.
Yeah, you're not alone.
All right. We will see you in a second at 7. We'll come back in a moment.